As the sun's glow rises over the earth, points of light erupt from the surface of the continents, and large metallic letters spelling out Universal encircle the globe. Below, a title gives the website address, www.universalstudios.com. A graphic reads Moscow, Russia. Jason Bourne limps through the snowy nighttime city, crossing a bridge over a railway station. He looks around nervously, hearing the sirens, and walks down into a subway. Face creased with pain, he walks up onto a platform as armed police give chase. He boards a train and his pursuers follow suit. He moves down the dimly lit coaches, then opens a trackside door and leaps from the slow-moving train. As he limps away, the police spot him. Suspect from tunnel auto chase heading east from Kievsky train station. A police car gives chase and Bourne hides, flattening himself against a wall. He spots the illuminated green cross sign of a pharmacy. Switching on the lights, he searches for medication, then goes into a bathroom at the rear of the building. He drops his gun into the sink and opens packs containing a syringe and a dressing with his teeth. Having administered the treatment, he slows his breathing, staring at himself in the mirror. He looks down at the slowly filling sink. Memory flashes. A fire hose in a bathroom, numbers on a building, a black SUV, and following a man down a bare corridor.
Send a man.
As police enter the pharmacy, he recalls an illuminated sign, room in use, and a man seated at a table.
Will you commit to this program?
I can't.
He drops dog tags on the table, and as a hood is pulled over his head, he tries to shake off the memories as the police enter.
Hey, dude.
Get your hands up. They approach him cautiously.
Will you commit to this program?
A man in glasses watches as he's hooded and restrained. In the agony of recall, he ignores the approaching cops. Show me your hands.
Will you commit to this program?
I can't.
Remembering the hood, he attacks. One cop is taken out by hand. The other now has Bourne's gun in his face. Don't shoot. I'm unarmed. Bourne pushes open the wire mesh door to the bathroom with the gun. Give me your radio. The man puts it on the floor. Bourne stamps on it. Please don't kill me. Bourne points the gun unwaveringly. My argument is not with you. He lowers the weapon and walks off. Letters flash up in random order, forming the title, The Bourne Ultimatum. A graphic reads, 6 weeks later, and as the sun hangs low over a group of featureless concrete buildings, another, Central Intelligence Agency, Langley, Virginia. Plaques on a door read, Ezra Kramer, Director, Central Intelligence Agency.
It's what you are, Jason. A killer. You always will be.
Go ahead, go on, go on, do it. Do it. She wouldn't want me to. It's the only reason you're alive.
Who is she?
Marie Kreutz, his girlfriend. She was killed in India. Director of Operations Ward Abbott arranged it.
So we have a dirty section chief that kills Bourne's girl. Bourne comes back for revenge, tapes Abbott's confession, and Abbott commits suicide. Now Bourne's gunning for us. You couldn't make this stuff up. Bourne's last confirmed location was Moscow 6 weeks ago.
Right.
He's on the run. He's dangerous.
Well, sir, with respect, I think something else could be going on here.
What? Was he after?
The reason Bourne went to Moscow was to see the daughter of his first target.
What's your point, Pam?
Maybe he was retracing his steps. He's looking for something. Something in his past. Maybe he hasn't found it yet, and we need to know what it is.
Are you telling me he's not a threat to this agency?
I think if he wanted to hurt us, he could have sent the tape to CNN.
Maybe he still will. My number one rule is hope for the best, plan for the worst. As far as I'm concerned, Bourne is still a serious threat until proven otherwise. Let's keep looking.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
As the meeting breaks up, traffic throngs the streets of a bustling city. A graphic reads, Turin, Italy. A guy walks down a busy street with a leather satchel slung over his shoulder and walks into a smart cafe. He sits at a table opposite a middle-aged man in a suit who watches intently as he retrieves a small tape recorder and a dossier from the satchel. He hands over a picture of Bourne headed Wanted.
This one's 3 years ago. You know, half of Interpol after him. Turned up in Naples, Berlin, Moscow. Disappeared again. The girl that he was on the run with, Marie Kreutz. She was found dead in a river halfway around the world. She'd been shot in the head. What connects the dots?
The man stares at him, then draws his thumb shakily across his eyebrow.
Turn off the tape recorder.
A graphic reads Paris, France. Another guy with a satchel over his shoulder walks out of a metro station. He walks up the stairs of an apartment building and enters a flat. In the living room next to a music stand and a cello, Bourne is sitting waiting. The guy stops and stares through the room's glass door, then takes off his satchel.
Where's my sister?
Why don't you sit down?
As he sits, their eyes remain fixed on one another.
Where is she? She's dead.
She was killed.
I'm sorry.
Bourne remains expressionless as Marie's brother digests the information.
Someone started all of this. And I'm gonna find them.
He gets up and leaves. A graphic reads, Heathrow Airport, London, England. The guy from Turin emerges from the arrivals gate.
Hey, it's me. Yeah. He knows the whole story. Bourne's just the tip of the iceberg. Have you heard of Operation Blackfriar? I'm gonna get my head around this and type it up. I'll see you Thursday. Okay.
The BT Tower presides over the city, and a building in Docklands has satellite dishes on the roof. A graphic reads, CIA substation, London, England.
Thank you, 1-1-2-1-0 for line check out.
GovSat 21. I have a hit on echelon, Blackfriar. I repeat, Blackfriar. Looks like it's coming from a European signal. NSA, please confirm your receipt.
I've been at the 15th course, which have intercepted our principal.
Sir, what you got?
We intercepted a call in London. Keyword Blackbriar.
Okay, send it to New York right away.
A serious-looking gray-haired man gets out of a limo in New York and enters a high steel and glass building. A graphic reads, CIA Deep Cover Anti-Terrorism Bureau, New York City. He strides into the offices and is met by a stocky, dark-haired man.
Track the phone. Registered to a London reporter named Simon Ross. Works at the Guardian newspaper.
You're tracking him?
Sir, yeah. Thanks, Mike. We have a survey team covering him at work and a sneaking piece on their way to his apartment.
Who talked to him? How did you find out about Blackfire?
I don't know. We pulled his background and run a cross-check on any known anomalies. We've come up with nothing, but I think if we follow Ross, we're going to be able to...
Right. Ross is easy. We want the source.
In Paris, Bourne emerges from a metro station, picks up a copy of The Guardian from a newsstand, and heads towards the Gare du Nord railway station. As he strides towards the platforms, Ross's phone call is played back at the CIA New York office.
Have you heard of Operation Blackfire?
You have details.
I'm going to get my head around this and type it up. I'll see you first thing.
Is that all?
Yeah.
I want rendition protocols and to put the asset on standby just in case.
People, listen up. This is a full priority situation.
Jimmy, give me Ross's profile on one.
Yes, sir.
Ross's details appear on a plasma screen on the wall.
Our target is a British national, Simon Ross, a reporter. I want all his phones, his BlackBerry, his apartment, his car, bank accounts, credit cards, travel patterns. I want to know what he's going to think before he does. Every dirty little secret he has. And most of all, we want the name and real-time location of his source. This is NSA priority level 4. Any questions? All right, let's get to it.
A Eurostar train speeds through the countryside. On board, Bourne is reading the paper. He's looking at the column by Simon Ross, security correspondent. The article is entitled, Who is Jason Bourne? Part 3 of a special report. His attention is caught by a paragraph about the death of a German woman believed to be an accomplice of Bourne's. A picture is captioned, Victim, Marie Kreutz.
Will you commit to this program?
I can't.
His memory flashes to happier times with Marie, his recruitment, their jeep plunging into the river in India, being plunged into water with a bag over his head, and the car sinking in the river. He remembers kissing Marie and trying to breathe life back into her underwater. He watches helplessly as the body sinks into the river's green, murky depths. The train approaches London, and Ross hurries towards the Guardian's headquarters. He's under surveillance from two agents in a car.
Mr. Bosun, the subject is entering his office.
Give me some eyeballs on the street.
Where's my picture, please?
Coming online. Online now.
Jimmy, how you doing with the phone line?
Yeah, we have an office line. We're working on his cell.
How long?
An hour, sir.
That's too long.
So how do we know he's not spinning for someone?
There was more. He was scared.
Scared about what?
Blackbriar.
Sorry, call for you.
Who is it?
Won't give his name.
Excuse me.
He's on my line.
Thanks.
Simon Ross?
Why are we hearing this?
Jimmy, that's a hard line, Jimmy. Why don't we have it?
We have his line, sir, but he's not on it. He's using a different phone.
I've been reading your stories.
Who is this?
This is Jason Bourne.
Waterloo Station, South Entrance, 30 minutes. Come alone.
Get the audio.
Street Team Alpha, Bravo.
Okay, guys, let's work. Come on.
Where's he going?
Okay, he is on the move. Give me eyeballs on the street. Let's go.
A graphic reads Waterloo Station. Bourne gets off the train and makes his way to the exit. Ross leaves the Guardian building.
Subject exiting the building.
Let's find out where he's going.
He hails a cab. A motorcyclist is standing by.
Mobile One, I need audio.
Audio engaged.
Mobile One should have it. Mobile One should have it. Get Mobile One on it. Let me know when you hear it.
Hi, Waterloo Station, south entrance.
Mr. Wills.
Where are you going?
Destination is Waterloo Station.
Okay, Waterloo Station. Give me eyes at Waterloo. Put everyone in play.
And let's activate the asset.
A tough-looking guy with stubble is relaxing in a hotel room when the call comes through. He puts on his jacket, grabs a bag, and heads out.
Are we at the bridge yet?
Not yet, sir.
Okay, Mobile 3, tell him to stay back.
Sir, please maintain visual contact.
As the cab crosses Waterloo Bridge, Bourne walks through the crowded ticket hall. A CCTV camera sweeps the area, and he approaches a Carphone warehouse kiosk.
Prepaid phone.
There you go.
He looks around as the sales assistant puts the phone in a bag. Ross's cab draws up at the station.
Mobile One, give me the subject's current location.
Copy that. Sir, the subject is arriving at the south entrance of Waterloo Station.
As Ross walks in, Bourne, keeping watch behind a pillar, activates his new mobile. He clocks a black car arriving at speed across the road from the station entrance. As the car's passenger enters a building over the road, and as Ross looks around warily, Bourne goes on the move. He drops something into Ross's coat pocket as a silver SUV draws up outside. Ross is surprised by the ringtone coming from his pocket. He's caught on video as he answers the call.
Hello?
Jimmy, I need that phone.
I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you.
What the hell's going on?
10 o'clock, to your left across the street, there's a silver Chrysler Voyager. There's a surveillance team inside. Directly across the street, 12 noon, there's a man in the second story, static post, he's watching you. Now there's a bus stop, 50 meters to your left. I want you to walk towards it.
Jimmy, I need that phone. I need it yesterday.
Sir,
he's on the move.
Sir.
He's on the move.
That's not his phone, sir.
Say again?
That's not his phone, sir.
What do you mean it's not his phone?
Where the hell did he get another phone?
Grab Team B, stand by.
Grab Team B, we're in position.
All right, there's a man in a blue hooded sweatshirt. He's talking on a phone. Walk directly to him and stop.
Jimmy, we need the call. I need that cell phone.
You do not let him get out of sight.
All right, turn around.
Okay, who's the guy in the blue hood?
Is that his contact?
Right, there's a bus coming. It'll be there in 10 seconds. When it stops, I want you to walk directly to your left. There's an overpass. Go up the stairs, stop at the newsstand. You'll get further instructions.
Okay, okay.
Get ready to move.
Okay. Watch that bus.
What?
No, watch that
all right,
bus.
What's going on? Somebody tell me we lost
Grab
the
team. Team B, intercept the contact and stay with Ross. Okay.
The team and the Voyager leap out of the car and sprint off, guns drawn.
Mobile One, target's on the move.
Okay, he's on the move.
Do not lose Ross.
The agents inject the guy in the hood and drag him off the bus.
Let's go.
What the hell was that?
Bourne takes out the video surveillance guy.
We've lost all communication with Mobile One.
Ross is on the walkway, followed by Bourne. Agents sprint along the street below.
What was the last known position, please?
On the walkway heading towards the concourse, sir.
Surveillance nightmare. It's the busiest terminal in London.
Give me all of CCTV's eyes.
On it, sir.
Sir, assets on scene.
The stubbled asset speeds up and parks his BMW behind a truck in a side road by the station. He looks around and shoulders his backpack as Ross nervously enters the station concourse.
Who's your source? What's his name? What's your source's name?
Look, what's going on? Why are these people after me?
Because you found something. You talked to someone inside Treadstone. Someone who was there at the beginning. Who is it?
You know I can't tell you that.
You have no idea what you're into here. These people will kill you if they have to.
Was it Blackbriar? Is that what this is?
What's Blackbriar?
Treadstone upgrade. My source told me it all started with you. He said that you were square one, the dirty little secret. He said he knows who you are.
Bourne looks stunned, then notices agents approaching.
We have to move.
Answer your phone.
You got a visual?
Where the hell is he, people?
Do exactly as I say. I need you to move up to your right. First escalator on the right.
Ross moves, looking scared. Bourne clocks more approaching agents, and Ross catches the eye of a guy standing on his own.
Tie your shoe right now. Tie your shoe.
Ross crouches down as another agent scans the concourse. He's close to panic.
Wait. I'm going to walk by you. I want you to move along the far wall to your left. In 4, 3, 2, 1, stand up. That's it.
Bourne brushes past the bemused reporter.
Where the hell is he? You cannot afford to lose this guy, people.
Bourne looks up, checking the positions of the CCTV cameras.
All right, that line you're on is good.
Stay on that line. Stay on that line.
Oh, the bin man. I think he's one of them.
The garbage man?
Negative.
Oh, Jesus, he's reaching for something. Oh, God, he's got a gun. He's got a gun.
Stay on the line, you're on.
He's got a gun.
Do not deviate.
Ross scurries off right into the camera's field of vision.
Okay, there he goes. Here he goes. Tell grab team A, go.
He's still talking with somebody.
Getting instructions. Jimmy, get me the conversation.
Lock the box.
Moving grab team C.
Hurry, Ross. We gotta move.
Okay, move through this crowd. Get under cover right now. Move through this crowd.
The asset climbs service stairs to the upper levels of the station building, and a grab team closes in on Ross.
Get in the store.
There's someone on your tail. Get in the store.
You're gonna proceed out the east exit. That's to your right as you come into the store.
Barely breaking his stride, Bourne takes down a member of a grab squad with his own hypodermic.
Head into the liquor store in front of you.
Go into the back and lock the door.
Mobile 4 is down. This guy's got help. Tell me when the asset's in the nest.
Ross locks himself in the off-license storeroom just before a grab team arrives.
Get me a feed in there. I want grab team C in there. Tell me what's going on.
The agents walk past Bourne without a second glance. He follows them.
Team 4 is mobile.
Bourne follows an agent into the shop storage area. He takes the man out just before he can shoot Ross. Bourne then flings the journalist out of the way, stops an agent with two punches, grabs another by his gun hand and throws the two into each other. One goes down, the other exchanges punches with Bourne, who then uses him as a shield against another gunman who arrives on the scene. As Ross looks on in terror, Bourne smashes one man to the floor and throws the other down the stairs before hiding the guy's gun out of harm's way in a cable duct and flattening him with a backhander from his own weapon. Bourne looks up and realizes they're on CCTV.
Jesus Christ.
That's Jason Bourne.
He's picking us apart. Do you think he's a source?
He's gotta be.
Lock all the exits. Give the asset a green light. Take them both out.
The asset strides down a service corridor, then climbs a metal ladder leading to a mechanized advertising hoarding overlooking the concourse.
Stay there. I'm gonna get us out of here. You gotta do exactly what I say. Listen to me. This isn't some story in a newspaper. This is real. You understand me?
Okay.
Leaving Ross cowering in a corner, Bourne strides back out into the crowds, the assets assembling a high-powered rifle with a silencer.
Call all the agents back. Give Bourne's location at the back of the store to the asset.
Yes, sir.
Bourne scans the crowds as the asset loads his weapon and steadies it on a stand to take aim. Photos of Bourne and Ross appear on the gunman's mobile. He takes aim through the revolving slats of the advertising board.
Kill the cameras.
The cameras swing away from the concourse.
Bourne.
Wait, something's not right.
I can see the entrance from here. If I go now, I can make it.
The gunman's crosshairs are on the door that Ross is behind.
Bourne?
Just stay where you are.
I don't think we should wait. I think someone's coming.
I'm going for it.
No.
Ross goes down from a perfect headshot. Bourne joins the crowd around the body, staying low so the gunman can't get a shot. As police approach, Bourne removes documents from the journalist's satchel and hurries off through the crowd, too quickly for the sniper to take aim. The gunman disassembles his rifle as Bourne starts to climb towards his position, then hurries to get out of the station. Looking down a long service corridor, Bourne sees the asset disappearing around the corner at the far end. He gives chase, following the guy into the underground station. He hurries down an escalator, and at a crossroads of tunnels, decides to head for a train that's waiting at a platform. The gunman's on the train, Bourne still on the platform. They stare expressionlessly at each other as the train pulls away. Back in New York, the counter-terrorist director angrily enters his office.
We have a situation.
An agent approaches Pamela Landy's office.
Yeah.
So, Director Kramer would like to see you.
I need to get those warrants.
He said it's urgent.
Bourne strides down a London street at night. Glancing over his shoulder to check he's not being tailed, he goes into an internet cafe and looks through Ross's notebook. A question is written in bold capitals. What is Blackbriar? Bourne's name is also written in bold and circled. A page is headed Sewell and Marbury. Bourne goes online and Googles the names. He finds the page of a company with that name which specializes in global markets and investment banking. There's a list of addresses, including one in Madrid. He leaves the cafe. A graphic reads, Madrid, Spain. It's nighttime, but traffic still throngs the streets. A man staring at a television.
What the police will tell me is that they believe the victim is 35-year-old Simon Ross, a well-known journalist based here in London with the Guardian newspaper. It appears that he was gunned down right in the middle of the Waterloo Station concourse around 3:45 this afternoon. In full view, hundreds of commuters. Over the years, I've covered a lot of unsavory stories.
The man opens a safe in his office and removes a file marked Top Secret, Blackbriar. He puts it in a bag and puts a gun in a shoulder holster. He activates the security alarm and goes outside, getting into a silver Mercedes. In New York, the counter-terrorist head is waiting in a smart restaurant holding a menu and glancing around as Pamela Landy walks in and is shown to his table.
Hi.
Morning, sir. Can I take your order?
Yes, I'll have the heart-healthy omelette with goat cheese and peppers, please.
Anything for you, ma'am?
Just coffee, please.
Are you sure? I'm buying.
I'm good.
So, when the director called and it was suggested that we bring you on...
Suggested? You're sure it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, it's funny how different things look depending on where you sit, right? Mm. I look at this as a favor for you, Pam, giving you an opportunity to complete some unfinished business.
Meaning?
Bourne, he's here, he's a threat, and we both want the same thing.
But we both go about it in two very different ways.
The past is past, Pam, all right? You were careless in Stockholm.
So what was Waterloo? Just careless again?
We had a leak, a serious national security situation. Bourne showed up on our surveillance, and we had very little time to react.
And a reporter got killed.
Bourne saw us coming to question is, what was he doing there?
No, the real question is how you managed to get into a firefight at a public train station.
You know as well as I do, decisions made in real time are never perfect. Don't second guess an operation from an armchair.
She stares at him coldly.
I'll see you at the office. Enjoy your egg whites.
He stares at her as she leaves. A train pulls into the large station in Madrid. The city, with its large bullfighting arena, is bathed in sunshine. Bourne gets off the train. In New York, Landy follows her new boss into the office.
Hey, Paul. This is Pamela Landy and her associate, Tom Cronin. She's going to be quarterbacking the search effort. Say your name and state your specs, please.
Well, let's do names later, okay? What's Bourne's last fixed position?
London, 1200 Zulu.
Status, what is he, armed, wounded?
Alive, mobile, and unknown.
You have an echelon package?
Yes.
Why isn't it on?
We were waiting.
Waiting for what? What? Listen, people, do you have any idea who you're dealing with? This is Jason Bourne. You are 9 hours behind the toughest target you have ever tracked. Now, I want everyone to sit down, strap in, and turn on all you've got. That would mean now! Thank you.
Give me a team deployment plan?
I want everything you got on Ross on screen one.
Bourne gets out of a taxi in a cobbled side road. He peers round the corner of a building into a busy shopping street, then moves out. A plaque on a wall bears the company name Sewell and Marbury. Rain is falling as he looks up at the building. He then notices two police officers coming down the street and walks away.
Sir, I think we have something. We just hacked Ross's email account at The Guardian. Found round-trip ticket to Turin, Italy yesterday. 0800 arrival, 1205 departure.
I think we can be pretty certain that Bourne's not your source, then.
How?
Ross has called to his editor where he said he just met the source. It took place just after his Turin flight landed. He met a source in Turin.
So?
What? So what? Bourne met Ross in Turin for breakfast, and then at noon the same day, Bourne calls Ross to demand a meet at Waterloo?
Yeah, maybe they were even on the same flight. With everything you've got.
Cross-check the secure cell phone usage of everyone with SCI clearance against all calls going in and out of Turin, Italy, the morning Ross was there.
Well, the guy you're after is a CIA operative with clearance above top secret. He's committing treason by talking to Ross. Do you really think while doing that he's going to use a cell phone that he knows we can track?
Zero results on the cross-check.
Okay, so you got any better ideas?
Yeah, I look at all the people whose cell phones were switched off the entire period Ross was in Turin. I mean, if your people are on their phones as much as mine, the list should be pretty small.
A long list of names on screen is replaced by a much smaller one.
Three names. Tom Brewster, Jack Boulant, and Neil Daniels.
Okay, now check everything in Ross's apartment against those names. Check for common patterns. Look for anything that indicates who Ross met.
Pull up the socials. Pull it up. Is this document? Break it. Over here. What is that? Right there. Initials. Pull that up. Bring that up on main.
Initials on a handwritten note are ND.
Neil Daniels. He's station chief in Madrid, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, call the RSO at the embassy. Have them take Daniels into custody if he is there. Anna, get grab teams to the Calle Norte safe house. Send them in heavy. Tell them we'll assist with the entrance.
Heavy? Daniels isn't really...
I'm worried about Bourne. If he is not the source, then he is after the source, the same as we are.
Bourne walks in the nighttime streets and returns to the Sewell and Marbury building, picking the lock on the outside door and going inside. He climbs the darkened stairs, picks the lock on the office door, and enters. The office is in darkness, but he clocks a red light winking on a motion sensor. He swiftly deactivates the system.
ETA, Team 2.
3 minutes to destination, sir.
Bourne crosses the office and starts to look around. There are papers and a photo on the floor. The picture shows Daniels, who Ross met in Turin, and another older man side by side. Daniels' face flashes in Bourne's memory from his recruitment.
Your mission will save American lives. Will you give yourself to this program?
I can't.
Again.
The other man is the speaker from his memory. Bourne collapses to his knees as he remembers the brightly lit room and being tortured. Bourne picks himself up, sweat glistening on his face, and on a security monitor, sees a car draw up outside. He's immediately alert as casually dressed agents approach the building and picks up an electric fan.
Sir, they're at the front door.
The agents enter the building. Landy stands, arms folded, monitoring proceedings. Bourne tears off a strip of sellotape and prepares for the agent's arrival.
Five seconds.
We're up live.
The lead agent videos the operation, holding his mobile phone next to his gun.
We're in. The alarm's down.
That's gotta be Bourne.
The phone, in night mode, flashes back images of the apparently empty office. It's a mess with papers everywhere.
The safe is empty.
Shit.
Looks like he left in a hurry.
Track Daniels' passports.
An agent sweeps his gun around another shadowy room. The agents spot a shadow moving in the light beneath a door. The New York team stare at the screens. They move forward and see the shadow is caused by the slowly oscillating fan. Bourne attacks. Two agents go down and the video feed is cut.
God damn it. Get a backup team in there.
Bourne's adversaries are good and they trade blows, but Bourne is the one left standing. He picks up a gun. On the monitor, he sees more agents entering the building.
Get me a secure line. Get the second team over there now.
A door opens and Bourne raises the gun. He finds himself facing his former contact, Nikki. They stare at each other in shock and surprise.
What are you doing here?
I was posted here after Berlin.
Where's Daniels?
Where is he?
They hold rigid eye contact until Bourne motions with the gun for her to move. She picks her way past a fallen agent.
Hello?
Who is this?
This is Nikki Parsons.
She was Treadstone. Logistics. She was with us when we hunted Bourne in Berlin.
Nikki's file flashes up on screen.
Nikki, I need to do an ID challenge. Code in Sparrow.
A screen shows her response if under duress should be Ruby. She glances at Bourne with his gun pointed unwaveringly at her head.
Response Everest.
Indicating everything is normal.
Nikki, this is Noah Vosa. How long have you been on site?
I just walked in.
We have two officers on site. Are you in contact with them?
They're down. Unconscious, but alive.
Any sign of Neil Daniels?
No.
Nikki, this is Pam Landy.
We have reason to believe there's a connection between Neil Daniels and Jason Bourne.
Bourne? You're still looking for Bourne? I thought that case was closed.
No, some people are convinced he's still a threat. I disagree, but to find out, I need to talk to him.
Hold on, Nikki. What the hell are you doing?
I'm trying to send him a message.
You don't think Bourne is a threat? He just took out two more of my men.
The only way this has a happy ending, Noah, is if we bring him in alive.
He is going after Daniels.
He wants revenge, Pam, and the only realistic way to end this is to eliminate the threat.
How long till backup?
Nikki, I need you to stay put and secure the premises.
Backup will be arriving in approximately 1 hour. Do you copy?
Copy, sir.
He signs off and she hangs up.
How long do I have?
3 minutes. My car's outside. I know where Daniels is.
He finally lowers the weapon and, grim-faced, strides to the phone.
Hola, estoy en Calle Norte.
I'm at 334 Calle Norte. I hear gunfire and men shouting. I think they're Americans.
Come on.
2 minutes to destination, sir.
Grab teams A and B.
Where was Daniels headed?
8 o'clock this morning, he wired $100,000 to a bank account in Tangier.
But that's 300 miles away. If we hurry, we can make the morning ferry. Where are you parked?
To the right, 20 meters on your side of the street.
They walk quickly out of the building as cars pull up down the street.
They're coming.
Keep moving.
Two subjects seen exiting safe house.
Police intercept the approaching agents as Bourne and Nikki reach her car.
What the hell is this?
Nikki's VW moves off as the police force the agents to drop their guns.
What the hell just happened?
We've lost visual contact with the subject, sir.
Ice. Issue a standing kill order on Jason Bourne, effective immediately.
Send out a system-wide alert to all Spanish contacts. I want all air and ground border exits locked down.
The VW Golf weaves through the nighttime traffic. In New York, night has also fallen, and lights shine in the towering skyscrapers. Landy walks purposefully into Vosen's office.
What's going on? What's Daniels got? What's Operation Blackbriar? Do you want to tell me, or should I call Kramer and ask him?
Christ's sake, Pam, we're in the middle of an operation.
Bullshit. You want Jason Bourne? Level with me.
He sits at his desk and eyes her appraisingly.
Operation Blackbriar started as an NEAT surveillance program.
And what is it now?
It is now the umbrella program for all our black ops. Full envelope intrusion, rendition, experimental interrogation is all run out of this office. We are the sharp end of the stick now, Pam.
Lethal action?
If we have to, sure. That's what makes us special. No more red tape. No more getting the bad guys caught on our sights than watching them escape while we wait for someone in Washington to issue the order. Oh, come on. You've seen the raw intel, Pam. You know how real the danger is. We need these programs now.
What's the connection to Daniels?
He ran all of our operations in Southern Europe and North Africa, so he has everything. Names, dates, ghost sites, who's cooperating with us abroad, every operation. You want that stuff in Bourne's hands out on the market to the highest bidder? I don't think so.
Bourne's not after money. He's after Daniels for a reason.
Well, what does it matter what Bourne is after? When we find Daniels, and believe me, we'll find him. If you're right, we get Bourne, too.
She studies him, then turns and leaves the office. Bourne and Nikki are sitting at a table in a roadside cafe. It's raining outside. Bourne checks his watch and glances at her. She stares at him without expression.
Why did you come back? Why are you looking for Daniels?
He looks into her eyes, then shows her the picture of Daniels with the gruff-voiced man who recruited him.
Do you know who that is?
That's Daniels. I don't know who that is. Who is he?
Bourne takes another look at the photo.
He was there at the beginning. I remember meeting him. The first day, Daniels brought me to him. That's where it all started for me. Something happened to me, and I need to know what it was. Or I'll never be free of this.
Daniel said the training was experimental. Behavior modification. They had to break down the agents before they became operational. He said you were the first one.
Why are you helping me?
Still staring at him, she toys with her coffee cup, then lowers her gaze.
It was difficult for me. With you.
They eye each other intently.
You really don't remember anything?
No.
Two cops enter the cafe.
We have to move.
They calmly make their way out. In New York, Daniel's profile comes up on a computer.
Sir, Mr. Wills, you're going to want to look at this.
Stocky Wills watches as maps of increasing detail flash up on the operator's screen.
He's in Tangier.
In his office, Vosen goes to a safe and places his thumb on a scanning pad.
Noah Vosen.
He retrieves a dossier and is on the phone as Cronin strides past.
We have found Daniels.
Cronin heads for Landy's office.
They just tracked Daniels' passport to a hotel in Tangier. They're holding up a bank transfer made to keep him in place while they bring an asset up from Casablanca.
They're going to take him out.
Craggy-faced Director Kramer is in his office at Langley.
Yeah?
It's Pam Landy. She says it's urgent.
Tell her I'm unavailable.
Yes, sir.
He stares at the phone. At the other end, Landy hangs up. A ferry crosses a calm sea. On board, Bourne and Nikki stand side by side at the rail. She glances at him as he stares fixedly down at the water. As the ferry approaches land, a graphic reads, Tangier, Morocco. Bourne passes through customs, catching up with Nikki. A grim-faced guy with cropped hair and a bag over his shoulder gets into a taxi. Landy and Cronin enter the operations room.
Sir, asset has arrived at the airport.
Bourne and Nikki walk side by side through the city, then enter a sparsely furnished room. Nikki places her laptop on the table. Daniels gets out of a cab and tips a parking attendant.
Shukr. Give me the subject's location.
Subject is now on foot and entering Hotel Velasquez. Hotel is 2.2 kilometers from the bank.
I get an elevation and a floor plan, tic-tac-toe. Locate the room.
Give the asset subject location and the route between the subject's hotel and the bank.
In his taxi, the swarthy asset receives a message on his phone. It reads, incoming tasking. A file uploads. Nikki logs into the CIA net.
Do we have that room yet?
Yes, sir. It's room 117.
All right, get a hold of the hotel trunk line. Run all calls through here with an ISO on room 117.
The asset enters a dingy garage containing a scooter. Nikki types Daniel's name into her computer.
His location's being blocked by the firewall.
No, they found Daniels. They know where he is.
They'll get one of the operatives to terminate him.
Find out who.
The asset's details come up on screen.
Desch.
Tell me you're going to meet him, and you have a new phone for him.
If you stop Desch, they'll just get someone else.
No, we're not going to stop him. We're going to follow him. He'll take us right to Daniels.
Desch loads his pistol, and a message from Nikki appears on his phone. Meet me now at Café de Paris. On the table is a homemade bomb. He pushes a scooter out of the garage and has a bag slung over his shoulder. He rides away down the busy street. Across the cluttered city, Bourne and Nikki stride side by side, and Desch rides to his rendezvous. As he's monitored in New York, a red flag appears on screen.
Sir, the asset is deviating off course.
Fosen nods, tight-lipped.
Let it play.
Desch threads his way through a traffic jam. Using a tree as shelter, Bourne watches as he rides past. Nikki's at a cafe and places a mobile phone on the table. Bourne watches as Desch pulls up and gets off his scooter.
Asset unscheduled stop.
Fosen looks anxious. Bourne continues to watch as Desch walks up the street through the crowds, approaches the cafe where Nikki's sitting, and without looking at her, scoops the mobile phone off the table. As he walks back to his scooter, Bourne looks around, sees another scooter rider parking his machine, and bumps into him, stealing his keys. Bourne sets off in pursuit of Desch.
Sir, asset is on the move, en route to subject.
Sir, we have an unauthorized breach. Someone with active system knowledge penetrated our protocol. Instructions were sent to the asset at 1411 local time. Trace is confirmed invalid. It came from a computer belonging to Nikki Parsons.
Vosen and Landy exchange looks.
Where did the course deviation occur?
South to Rue de Belgique, stationary Place de France.
That's where Parsons is. When we're finished with Daniels, send the asset after her.
Yes, sir.
We find Parsons, we find Bourne.
Noah, what are you doing?
Not now.
I want to know what's going on.
I said not now.
What basis are you continuing this operation on?
The basis that Nikki Parsons has compromised a covert operation. She is up to her neck in this.
This is about Daniels, not Nikki.
She has betrayed us.
You don't know the circumstances, Noah.
She's in league with Jason Bourne, for Christ's
sake. You do not have the authority to kill her.
Oh, yes, I do. And you had better get on board.
Noah, she's one of us. You start down this path, where does it end?
It ends when we've won.
They eyeball one another. Then, holding his gaze until the last possible minute, Landy leaves the operations room.
When we're finished with Daniels, send the asset after them.
Yes, sir.
Okay, come on away. Asset,
stand by for the
Bourne and Nikki's photos appear on screen. In Tangier, as Desch speeds along, he receives the pictures on his phone. Bourne is tailing him, and as Desch snaps his phone shut, he catches sight of him in his rearview mirror.
Two minutes, sir.
Tell the bank to release the funds.
On his hotel room balcony, Daniels looks around nervously as the phone rings.
Hello?
Monsieur Daniels, vos fonds sont disponibles.
The money has arrived. He hangs up, closes his briefcase, throws on his coat and leaves.
He's on the move.
Fosen stares at the monitor as Daniels hurries out of the hotel. Desch draws ever closer to his location and Bourne is still following. Daniels reverses his Mercedes out onto the street. Bourne, still tailing Desch, pulls over and parks his scooter, seeing Desch also parking up.
Just walk back,
Keeping a wary eye on his quarry, Bourne follows Desch on foot. Vosen stares grimly at his monitors.
Ready to call in.
200 meters.
Okay, come on, I want to lay in some preliminary track.
As Bourne watches, Desch drops his bag on the road next to a parked car as Daniels rounds the corner onto the street.
Stop!
Bourne thrusts his hand out to stop the man. Desch turns, catches Bourne's eye and hits a key on his phone. Bourne clocks Desch's scooter next to the Mercedes and hurries to warn Daniels. The scooter explodes right next to Daniels' side of the car and Bourne is flung to the ground. People at a cafe stand and stare at the column of smoke rising from the blast, and Nicky looks around apprehensively. Signal lost appears on screen where Daniels was located. The New York operatives stare mutely at their screens. Desch stares as a group gathers around the blast site. The car is burning, and Bourne's on the ground, eyes closed, motionless. His eyes blink open. Desch walks away. Bourne hauls himself to his feet, looks at the burning car, then sees the assassin riding off on another scooter. He runs down the steeply sloping lots between buildings to intercept him. As Bourne gives chase, the streets begin to fill with police and onlookers. He works to pick the security lock on another motorcycle as a police car makes its way down the street. Bourne takes off just as the policemen leap from their car and try to stop him. Nicky looks around nervously as Desch speeds through the streets, and Bourne gives chase on a scrambler with the police on his tail. He comes face to face with a police car coming in the other direction, flips the bike around, and vaults the machine up a 6-foot wall. As the bike up a narrow side alley as the police try to reorganize and give chase. Bourne speeds across the road in front of the cops and up a flight of steep steps. Nicky stays put, looking bewildered by all the activity. Bourne flies down another narrow alleyway and bounces down another set of steps. Nicky gets up and gets on the move. Turns and walks in the opposite direction, opening up her phone. She pulls the phone to pieces, removing the battery and the SIM card, dropping the bits on the street as she walks. Desch cruises after her, trying to keep her in sight as she moves into dense crowds. He abandons the scooter and follows her on foot. They're in a market packed with shoppers. Bourne tears down the street and dumps his bike, sprinting past the cafe and noting the bits of phone on the ground. Nicky continues to move, glancing nervously over her shoulder. Desch pushes through the crowds, craning his neck, trying to spot Nicky. Moving fast, Bourne spots Desch's abandoned scooter and makes his way into the market throng. Scanning the crowds, Bourne notices police forging a path through the shoppers. Nicky looks more uncertain the further she goes. Desch strides relentlessly through the crowds behind her. With the cops making ground on him, Bourne grabs an aerosol can off a market stall, dropping the can into a snack seller's cooking fire as he barges past. In the chaos caused by the exploding can, Bourne turns on his pursuers, taking them down by hand as onlookers warily give him room. More police join the chase as they follow Bourne into an apartment building.
Hey, what's that, Bucco?
He emerges through a steel door, looks around and climbs up onto the flat roof. Reaching a wall at the edge of the roof, he looks down and sees the police coordinating their pursuit. He also spots Nikki still moving through the crowd. He frowns as he also sees Desh following her. Nikki moves faster and starts to run, panicking, desperately trying doors down the narrowing alley. They're all locked. Bourne sprints across the roof. The police follow the path he took and also emerge from other exits onto the interconnecting maze of flat roofs. Bourne jumps the gaps between roofs, grabbing clothes from washing lines as he goes. He uses them to pad his hands against the broken glass embedded in the walls as he vaults between buildings. With no such protection, the police have to reorganize their tactics again. Desh draws his weapon. The pistol is fitted with a silencer. Nikki desperately tries more locked front doors, then barges through one which is open. Desh advances down the alley, gun at the ready, as Nikki rushes up the stairs. Frowning, the killer looks for clues as to his quarry's whereabouts. Desh looks up, hearing the noise of Nikki crashing through the door onto the building's roof. He steps back for a better look. As he steps into a doorway, Nikki looks down, searching the alley. Bourne is still sprinting across the rooftops. He stops and looks around the city's myriad flat roofs. Desh is still looking up, looking for any sign of life on the roofs above, and the police haven't given up the chase either. They have Bourne in their sights. He looks down and spots Desh, then sees Nikki about to try and jump a wide gap between two buildings. As she lands, Bourne takes off. He crashes through another washing line, sprints off a roof, hurling himself across a sheer drop, and lands in someone's kitchen. He hurls himself through the astonished people's apartment as Nikki breaks into the building she crossed over to. Desh gingerly opens a door and enters a building, moving below a balcony with wrought iron railings. Nikki stealthily descends a staircase. They're in the same building, but Desh is out of her line of sight. She keeps moving through the shadows. Bourne is at full tilt, running through apartments and leaping through windows, barely breaking stride as he leaps across the alleyways separating the apartment blocks. As Nikki tiptoes through her building, Desh is also moving in the shadows, and Bourne continues his relentless dash. To panic, Nikki gasps for breath, running out of hiding places as Desh draws nearer. Bourne pauses, looks out of an open window, and sees movement in the opposite building. He launches himself off a balcony rail. Desh opens fire as Bourne crashes into the apartment. Bourne grabs the assassin's gun hand and they grapple. The shot narrowly misses Nikki. Then as the gun is dropped, Desh throws his adversary against a wall. Bourne kicks up at him, and Nikki dives onto his back, sticking her fingers into his mouth, pulling his head around. She gets an elbow in the face and flies backwards. It gives Bourne his chance, and he kicks the man over. Up again, Desch swings and misses, then throws Bourne into a glass-fronted cabinet. They exchange blows and crippling holds, Desch somersaulting out of a wrist lock. Bourne kicks him whilst he's down, but his foot is grabbed and he's thrown onto a table, shattering it. Desch swings a brass lampstand, but Bourne bashes him in the foot and the face with a hardback book and slams him into a sideboard. Desch struggles, with the book wedged into his throat. Bourne then punches the book into his throat and his face before they lock together in a deadly wrestling hold. Bourne's thrown into a small, grimy shower room and fends off a razor attack with a towel wrapped around his wrist. He wraps the towel around Desch's arm and disarms him, then they wrestle again. Bourne forces the killer down in a corner by the throat and squeezes the life out of him until Desch's hands drop and Bourne stands up exhausted looking down at him. Bourne glances at Nicky, who's standing staring at the scene. He looks uncomfortable, then removes the dead assassin's phone from his jacket, handing it to her.
We need to be dead.
She stares at him. In New York, their pictures flash up on screen with a message. Termination completed.
Sir, asset confirms both targets are down.
Vosen, clutching a dossier, looks around the room and gives a curt nod.
I want to be sure about this. Ask the station chief for I'm about to confirm the deaths and do a sub rosa collection of the bodies. I want to tie this thing off completely. And keep an eye on Landy.
He walks out, leaving Wills in charge.
Yep.
Bourne and Nicky Parsons are dead.
You sure about that?
Our station chief and Rabat is confirming.
I can't afford to have this come back to me.
Don't worry, you're protected.
Just remember why we put Landy there. If Blackbriar goes south, we'll roll it up, hang it around her neck, and start over.
Grimly, Kramer hangs up. Vosen pensively follows suit. In her office, Landy paces thoughtfully. In Tangier, Nicky washes her hands and watches Bourne's reflection in the bathroom mirror. She rinses out a flannel as he sits on the edge of the bed, examining his battered hands. She walks into the bedroom and hands him the flannel. He takes it without looking at her, staring fixedly in front of him. It's nighttime in New York, and Landy's still in her office reading through a Treadstone CIA dossier entitled TR-11-4S, Jason Bourne, Operational History. She concentrates with a pen in her hand. In Tangier, Bourne raises his head slightly.
I can see the faces. Everyone I ever killed. I just don't know their names.
Landy pulls a page from the file. There's the name Vladimir Nevsky and the word shooting. Another photo has terminated printed across it in red ink, and stabbing as the cause of death. She flicks through more similar pages.
Marie used to try that. Help me remember.
Another page has mission aborted across the photo, and the name Nikwana Wombozi, outcome of mission, failed.
I've tried to apologize for what I've done. For what I am. None of it makes it any better.
Nikki reaches out and places her hand on his. He looks up at her, and their eyes locked together.
They're gonna come for you again. You're gonna have to run now.
She remains expressionless, then breaks eye contact and stands up. Landy's still studying the dossier. The report contains phrases such as "subject demonstrated resistance during admission process," "subject submitted to tank treatment," and the name Dr. Albert Hirsch. There's a photo of the man pictured standing next to Daniels, whose name also appears in the report, which states, "subject was successfully inducted into Treadstone, June 1st, 99. Nikki's colouring her hair using a dark dye. She then cuts it short. Bourne approaches the bathroom, looking in to see what she's doing. She spots him in the mirror and stares at him. He meets her gaze.
Where's she going?
She swallows nervously. They walk through a bustling crowd to a coach. Dark-haired Nikki turns to face him, and once again, they look into each other's eyes. Unable to speak, she turns and joins the crowd getting on the bus.
It gets easier.
She looks at him, then gets onto the bus. He turns and walks away. He meets with men in a tiled room. There are plastic bags on the table. These are Mr. Daniels' belongings. It's everything? Yes. Let's see that. He opens up Daniels' charred briefcase, examining the contents. Among the ashes, he finds the remains of a piece of paper from a dossier with the CIA logo and the New York office address. He hands cash to the man who gave him access. It's a gloomy day in New York, and below the towering high-rises, traffic clogs the streets. Wills heads for Vosen's office, who's starting the day with a shave.
Station chief in Rabat just called. They found a body.
Bourne?
Desch.
Vosen angrily throws something onto his desk. Cronin goes to see Landy.
Hey, you need to see this.
She follows him to the office next door and they look at his computer screen.
A passport for Gilberto Dipinto just cleared immigration. It's an early Treadstone identity registered to Jason Bourne. But he never used it and it never went to the grid. Bourne's alive.
She stands up, thinking hard.
They don't know?
Well, if they knew, Vosen wouldn't be in his office right now.
It's a hell of a risk.
Maybe Bourne wants us to know. Just like Naples. Maybe he's communicating. Maybe he's trying to communicate with you.
Then we should communicate back. I think I know what Bourne's looking for.
At the airport, Bourne descends an escalator, a bag slung over his shoulder. He clocks the uniformed police in the arrivals area.
Gilberto Dipinto. Your party is waiting for you.
Bourne stops in his tracks, then walks on. He's in a taxi crossing the Brooklyn Bridge. The taxi pulls up in the heavy downtown traffic, and Bourne gets out. He looks up at the various buildings around him, enters one, and goes into the emergency stairway. On an empty floor, he finds a window and opens his bag. As Landy goes back into her office, Bourne looks through a small, high-powered telescope and spots her. Moving to the left, he sees Vosen in his office. Zooming in, he watches as Vosen puts a dossier with the word Blackbriar on the cover into a file, then into his safe. Landy's writing as her mobile begins to vibrate.
Hello, Landy.
I hear you're still looking for me.
Bourne?
What do you want?
Vosen's office phone rings.
Yeah.
Better get in here. We got a situation.
I wanted to thank you for the tape.
It's all tied off. It's over. I guess I owe you an apology.
Is that official?
No, off the record. You know how it is.
Tracing this?
50 seconds to trace.
Goodbye.
Wait. David Webb.
That's your real name. You were born 4-15-71 in Nixon, Missouri. Why don't you come in and we'll talk about it?
Something is very wrong here.
Born?
Get some rest, man. You look tired.
He's looking right at her.
Shocked, she stands up and looks out of her office window.
People, listen up. This is a national security emergency. We have an imminent threat.
I'm going out there. If I show myself, you'll find me.
Jason Bourne is alive and is at large in New York City, and we believe within 1,000 yards of this building. I want an immediate 12-block lockdown of the area. Send a flash message to Langley. Prep for local backup assistance.
Landy takes a lift to the lobby.
Landy just left the building. Stay with her phone.
From his vantage point, Bourne sees Landy down in the street. He also sees she's being followed and texts on his mobile. She opens her phone.
She's using her cell. There's an incoming text.
Get it.
Working on it,
how many
sir?
Do we have on Landy?
6 men, more on the way.
I've got it, sir. Coming up on the screen now.
It reads Tudor City PL in 40 seconds. 10 minutes, come alone.
Anybody not on Landy goes directly to Tudor City. Get the vehicles, we're going mobile.
A guy is washing his face in his bathroom when a text comes through. It's the sniper from Waterloo Station. He throws on his jacket, picks up his backpack and leaves. Landy walks through the dense New York crowds, her tails following at a distance. As she hurries along, Vosen and his men emerge from the CIA building as a 4x4 arrives to pick them up. Landy closes on her destination as Vosen's vehicle speeds through the traffic.
There's only one way out of there. Why would he do that? He's trapping himself.
It's a bad place to meet. It's too exposed.
He wouldn't have chosen it if he didn't have a reason.
Bourne is also on the move as Landy's followers keep a close eye on her.
Subject is en route.
Route 43, let me know when you have visual.
Route 43, standing by.
Bourne enters a building as the CIA cars and agents converge at the rendezvous. It's a cold day with snow on the ground.
Standing by.
Okay, folks, here we go. Box 200 meters.
Visual on leader.
43 ground in position.
As soon as you have eyes on Landy, I want to know.
Bourne climbs another emergency staircase and moves through empty corridors. Landy arrives at the quiet square named in Bourne's text.
Okay, here we go.
Copy that, I see her.
She stands looking around the small snow-covered park in the square, surrounded by tall buildings. The agents also watch and wait.
Any sign of Bourne?
Negative. No sign of target.
Vosen glances at his phone.
No, Vosen.
This is Jason Bourne.
I was wondering when you were going to make this call.
How did you get this number?
You didn't actually think I was coming to Tudor City, did you?
No, I guess not. But if it's me you want to talk to, perhaps we can arrange a meet.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting in my office.
I doubt that.
And why would you doubt that?
If you were in your office right now, we'd be having this conversation face to face.
Bourne hangs up and turns to Vosin's safe.
No, Vosin. This is a code 10 abort. I want everyone back in the vehicles as a code 10 abort.
Bourne opened the safe using a recording taken as Vosin answered his phone and a thumbprint from the desk as they were talking. Landy watches as the agents all leave. Bourne opens the Blackbriar dossier, sees files on terminated American citizens, puts the documents into his bag and leaves. The corridor's empty, and he uses a stolen pass to get through a security door.
Yeah.
Wills, check my office.
Requesting a picture of him.
Wills can't get through the security door out of the ops room.
Damn!
He shoots out the door, goes to Vosin's office, and sees the empty safe.
He's got everything.
God damn it.
All right, set a four-block perimeter around the building.
Somebody give me a visual.
I want the entire building searched. Every room, every hallway, every closet, every goddamn air duct, you understand? I want him found.
Cronin arrives in his car.
What just happened?
Bourne just broke into CRI. He got into Vosin's safe.
Where to?
415 East 71st Street.
41571. Jesus, Pam.
Bourne exits the building and walks quickly but calmly down the street. Vosin's team speed back towards their HQ. Bourne sees one of the cars pull up nearby and changes direction. Then another one arrives. Bourne crosses the street and breaks into a run. The agents sprint after him.
He's headed east in the Port Authority.
All agents have shoot-on-site authorization.
Bourne charges into a mall and up an escalator, barging through the crowds, his pursuers hot on his tail. Bursts out onto the rooftop car park and is examining the parked cars as the agents arrive. He starts to hotwire the car's ignition. He rams into vehicles in front and behind him, taking out agents crouched behind them waiting to take a shot, then is confronted by a black car coming straight towards him. He leans down as the shots punch through the windscreen, driving by lying across the front seats looking at the mirrors. He reverses through some parked cars and right over the edge of the roof.
Sir, he drove off the roof.
What?
He drove off the roof. He's on foot, he's running.
Moving down to the next parking level, he shoots out the tires on another pursuit vehicle as a police cruiser approaches.
Police, freeze! Put your hands in the air!
Bourne ducks as an agent opens fire, and as the confused cops fire back, he gets into their car, reversing away at speed. Spins the car around and hurtles down the exit ramp with more CIA vehicles joining the chase.
Sir, take a look at this. Bourne's birthday, sir.
What about
Check
it?
Check that out. Sir, Landy told Bourne that his birthday was 4-15-71.
Oh my God, it's a code.
Everything stops. Listen up!
41571. New assignment, numbers. What does it mean?
Give me encryption code.
Sir, if you plug in these variables of longitude and latitude, you get Cameroon.
41571 is a zip code for Barney, Kentucky.
What date did you give him?
41571.
I don't believe it. SRD is at 415 East 71st Street.
She just gave him the training facility.
Oh, Christ. Bring all the teams in behind us.
The chase moves out into the city traffic and now includes the Waterloo sniper in his car. Form darts around a reversing car, but the car behind slams into it, slewing across the road. He slams on the brakes so the next car rear-ends him, then has to duck as the sniper gets some shots off at him. He gets sideswiped as he crosses a junction and gets the cop car under control just before the sniper can fire again. He weaves up a one-way street with the sniper and another car following, then has to hit the brakes again as he notices an agent about to take a shot from a four-track up ahead. He reverses at speed, cannoning into a CIA 4x4, then takes off down another street, the shattered rear of the cruiser dropping in pieces down the road behind him. The sniper's still in the game and tries to force Bourne off the road. The two cars go door to door as they try to take each other out. The cruiser gets spun around, mounts a concrete barrier, and gets pushed towards stationary traffic. Bourne grabs a seatbelt, bracing for the inevitable. People emerge from their cars to look at the vehicles mangled by the monstrous impact. Bourne kicks out the remains of the windscreen and emerges gun drawn. He levels it at the head of the assassin, gasping bloodily for breath, crushed against his steering wheel. He stares at the man and lowers his gun. He grabs his bag and limps away from the scene.
The asset lost Bourne, we lost.
Fosen looks shocked. A grey-haired man rubs his forehead.
Hello.
Albert, it's Fosen. Bourne knows everything.
He's on his way to you right now.
He's coming home, Noah. How long do I have?
I don't know. Just get the hell out of there.
No, I'm going to stay. He'll head for the training wing. That's what he knows. I'll keep him in play till you get there.
As Hirsch hangs up, Bourne limps determinedly onwards. Hirsch looks at a file and a pair of dog tags, purses his lips, then leaves the room. Bourne arrives at a grey cube-shaped building with small windows. A road sign shows East 71st Street. The location flashes in Bourne's memory, and he remembers arriving with a group of agents. He strides towards the building as Vosen's teams approach. Landy's waiting by the entrance. They stare at each other.
They'll kill you for giving me this.
41571 isn't much of a code. I guess his Vosen is on his way already.
Why'd you do it?
Because this isn't what I signed up for. What they did to you, Blackbriar. This isn't us.
Then do something about it. Everything you need is in there.
He hands her his bag.
Everything.
David, why don't you come in with me? It'll be better if we do this together.
No. This is where it started for me. This is where it ends.
He turns and walks into the building. She's about to walk off when she spots Vosen's vehicles approaching.
That's Landy.
She follows Bourne into the building. He uses a pass card to access a lift.
All right, lock this building down, set a secure perimeter of one block.
Landy finds an empty office and gets on the phone.
Hello, this is Pamela Landy. I have to send a classified document.
Get a team to SRD after Bourne and put someone in every public area of this hospital.
Okay, elevator shaft, service engines, go!
Bourne exits the lift and activates the alarm.
Damn it. South Bank, let's go.
Gentlemen, this is a priority one situation. You will give us your full cooperation.
Sit your ass down. Give me playback for the entire building for the last 3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Landy gets out the Blackbriar document and feeds it into the fax machine. As the documents feed into the machine, Bourne is walking down a corridor.
Move, move!
Agents pile up the emergency stairs as Vosen checks the security feeds.
This one here.
Where is this?
First floor.
I'll take Landy on my own.
Case files continue to feed into the fax machine. Bourne keeps walking, and the sniper, back in the game, enters the building. Landy whirls round as Vosen enters. They eyeball each other as the last page gets faxed. Vosen strides to the machine with a look of horror, staring at the papers, then at Landy.
Better get yourself a good lawyer.
She walks out, leaving Vosen speechless, clutching the dossier. Bourne passes through a security door into the corridor from his memories.
The Republic lives on a knife's edge. Lives on a knife's edge. When we are finished with you, you will no longer be David Webb. You may not even remember who he was. You know why we're treating you like this? Hello, Jason. I believe you've been having some problems. Put the gun down. I wouldn't be here if I didn't want to talk.
I've spent 3 years running. 3 years trying to find out who I am.
You've still not got it all back, have you? Still not filled in the pieces.
It was always you.
I'm unarmed, Jason.
Why me? Why did you pick me?
You really don't remember, do you? We didn't pick you, you picked us. Volunteered. Right here. Even after you're warned.
The room in use sign flicks on and they enter a room with strip lighting.
Captain Webb.
Good morning, Captain. You came in here. You didn't even blink, Jason.
He holds up the dog tags.
And just handed me these. Has everything been explained to you?
Yes, sir.
You said you wanted to serve. Your missions will save American lives.
I understand, sir. You said I'd be saving American lives.
You were.
I was killing for you. For them.
You knew exactly what it meant for you if you chose to stay. When we have finished with you, you will no longer be David Webb.
I'll be whoever you need me to be, sir.
You can't outrun what you did, Jason. You made yourself into who you are. Eventually, you're gonna have to face the fact you chose right here to become Jason Bourne.
He remembers sitting hunched over in the harsh light of the room.
You haven't slept for a long time, David. Have you made a decision? Have you made a decision? It's gonna go on now. You have to decide.
Who is he?
We've been through that.
What did he do?
It doesn't matter.
The suited Hirsch looms over him.
You came to us. You volunteered. You said you'd do anything it takes to save American lives. You're not a liar, are you? Or too weak to see this through? This is it. Let go of David Webb. Will you give yourself to this program?
Webb sits, a gun held loosely in his hand. He stands and shoots the hooded figure seated in a chair in the corner of the room, then stares expressionlessly at Hirsch.
You're no longer David Webb. From now on, you'll be known as Jason Bourne. Welcome to the program.
Daniels pulls the hood off the gagged corpse in the corner and checks there's no pulse. Webb sits alone in the room. Bourne has his gun to Hirsch's head.
Do you remember now?
He lowers the weapon and stares into Hirsch's craggy face.
I remember. I remember everything. I'm no longer Jason Bourne.
So now you're gonna kill me?
No. You don't deserve the star they give you on the wall at Langley.
Bourne dives out of the window as the sniper and other agents burst in.
He's headed for the roof!
He looks over the parapet at the traffic below, then heads back inside, moving through the emergency corridors. The sniper follows. Seeing a door close, Bourne's pursuer climbs a ladder to the roof. Bourne's already outside, running along the service gantries. The city and river are lit up in the dark of night. Bourne stares down the barrel of the killer's gun.
Why didn't you take the shot?
Do you even know why you're supposed to kill me? Look at us. Look at what they make you give.
More agents arrive on the roof. The assassin keeps his gun on Bourne, who slowly turns his back on him. Vozin arrives as Bourne sprints for the parapet. Vosen fires. Bourne drops into the black waters of the river. Traffic moves slowly over the brightly lit Brooklyn Bridge. Landy takes her seat at a formal hearing.
Good morning, Senators. If I may, I'd like to begin by making a statement for the record.
Bourne floats motionless in the river.
The file indicates that Ezra Kramer authorized six...
The President convened an emergency cabinet meeting today to discuss the growing scandal over an alleged government assassination program codenamed Blackbriar. CIA Director Ezra Kramer is under criminal investigation for authorizing the program, which in several cases may have even targeted U.S. citizens.
Nikki looks up from her book as she hears the news in a bar.
Two agency officials have already been arrested. Dr. Albert Hirsch, the alleged mastermind of the Blackbriar program, and CIA Deputy Director Noah Vosen, the program's operational chief. Meanwhile, mystery surrounds the fate of David Webb, also known as Jason Bourne, the source behind the exposure of the Blackbriar program. It's been reported that Webb was shot and fell from a Manhattan rooftop into the East River 10 stories below. However, after a 3-day search, Webb's body has yet to be found.
A smile lights up Nikki's usually solemn features. The body in the river kicks out and starts to swim away through the dark waters. The end.